your life. I'm never going to ask that question again, not to a trans person. But also, I'm happy to say there's... How was it? So, five... I don't know anymore.
Six.
Yeah, okay. So there's six of us. See, I don't know who's like.
Hey, trans, raise your hand.
Yeah. If you can't tell, I'm just saying that.
If you're trans and you know it, clap your hands.
Which one can be down with you? So, but we all have different experiences and a different level of what's okay to us. I know easy explanation. Some people aren't okay with the word tranny. I can give a fuck.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so I might say it's okay, but to other trans guys, it's not. That's why I'm happy they're here, because not I can't just stand for one trans person. And that's when you guys, I say, sleep, most of you know who Buck Angel is.
Oh, yes.
Alright, so with that being said, he's actually a face front in the fetish community for most trans guys, which he gives one face when there's multiple faces. And that's why when I got this group, I went to Blue, and Blue's like, oh, I'm already coming with 300 people. I was like, thank God, Jesus! I would have held it. But I was trying to, because I'm still new to this community myself.
Maybe you should Facebook it first.
Whatever, you know. I've only been here pretty new. I got this title in February, and I just moved here in September before that. So less than a year.
Happy anniversary.
And that's still not a scene anymore.
Floridian.
I'm still Floridian, I'm sorry. Yeah. Give me another year. Let me open my holes up a little more. We'll be good. But with that being said, I'm still learning where each part of the community is. And being a title holder, I've been drug out to many different parts. I can't believe how many different leather communities there are when I'm trying to, as one person in the leather community, and how separated it still really is. But I was just astounded. I'm still astounded. I'm like, we're still so separated, yet it's actually, San Diego's got the biggest community I've ever seen. I've talked to so many people, and they all say the same thing. San Diego's got the best community ever, yet we're so separated. And what I'm trying to do as a transgendered individual is show that that whole community is not just the leather community, that we have to bring more than that together. The leather community's the women are so separated from the men, and it drives me nuts. It really does. I see so many women to come to many of the men events, but not a lot of men come to the women events. And I'm trying to open that up as a trans man, having a vagina, and this is where I'm okay with saying that for myself, where some trans guys aren't, okay? Where the women feel comfortable talking to me as much as I, you know, as if I was another woman in the room. But that's because they feel that way. Where, you know, if I was just another leather man coming into the group, they'd feel a little awkward. But I cross that boundary, and I hear the stories. So I'm trying to bring the women closer to us as I'm trying to bring the men closer to the women. So if you ever see me do an event, I'm going to try to invite Sarge or one of the elder San Diego leather women. I know a few of them. I've had my own out touch with one of them, and I was a little offended, but we're working on that. But I'm still just trying to bring all of us together. So tonight, this is one community coming into another community. And as I said before, Blues heard me, the LGBTQ community is actually one giant community. I don't fit in just one. I am trans, but it's not who I am. I identify as a gay man right now. I do date men. I don't. It's just how I identify. Where others might identify differently here at this stage, but I am transgender. I will not deny that. And when I first got here, when I first came out, I was a lesbian. So there goes the L. Then I dated men, and I still was a woman. So there went the B. Then I transitioned. Now here's the T. Now I'm with a man, where I date men, so here's the G. I'm the whole goddamn community.
Yeah!
Don't have a history of where I'm supposed to go back. What I do is I stand for the whole community when I go anywhere. Although I am with, I have a title with the leather community, the leather community is where I hold myself, where my heart is. So yes, my love for leather is there. But when I stand out with a title or anywhere, I'm standing for the whole community as a woman. When somebody talks to me, yes, I'm standing here on as a lesbian stance, as a bisexual stance. As every stance, I'm looking at it from all the angles. But tonight, this is the T side. And I just want everyone to share their story because I want the leather fetish group to understand transgender individuals. Even though there's no women here tonight, we all know Kitty, so I'm sure she spread out her love. She's corrected everybody with a slap on the hand somewhere.
Yeah.
This is the trans man side, which is a little bit quiet. You don't really know too much about us. In fact, I'm at the Eagle as much as I can be, and I've only ever really seen a few trans guys there, unless I've invited them. But just as a bar, somebody coming out, and a couple of them, and I'm just like, wow, you guys aren't, what's going on? Is nobody comfortable? I don't understand. So I'm still trying to learn, although these two are very comfortable coming out, but once again, it's because they identify as being gay. So being at a gay leather bar is their scene. Happy to come in here. It's good to meet you. I want everybody to feel that way. And I know the Eagles, where men go to cruise, which is hard to, it's hard to bring in. And, I had my confrontation with the doorman. We all know Dave. Not allowing women in. And, trans guys didn't have an issue. But I've already corrected him. I was like, don't matter who comes in. If a trans guy comes in with a woman, that's who it is. Let them come in. Just don't let the drunk women, straight women. Smack you later.
Yeah.
Can't handle those. They're all over the place. But, I'm correcting stage by stage, and I just want everybody to understand everybody's standpoint and where they're comfortable. Or just to fit in. I don't want everybody to be comfortable. So, any questions you ask tonight, don't feel like you're going to offend us. We're just going to correct you. So don't feel like, I don't want you to get offended and be corrected. Open mind. Good deal? So, I guess we can tell a little bit of our stances and if we identify how we identify, because that would help you understand each one of us at a different level. As I already stated, I am transgendered. It's what I am, it's not who I am. I am a gay leather man. So, that's where I stand. If you don't mind, I'll introduce this as Blue. He's a bit, most of you know who he is. The biggest advocate I've ever seen in a trans community, and it's
fundraiser Friday night gospel.
80s party.
Just saying. And I can see some age here, so y'all can come party with us. Paul was saying, my name is Blue Montana. I moved here in 2005. North side 2009 from San Diego. I was stationed here before in the military, and when I was seen before, I knew that I wanted to come back because this was my home and I grew up.
Could you speak up for old ears?
I've known I was trans since I was little. I told my mom when I was 3 years old, I was a boy, didn't want nothing to do with no pink, no Barbie, no nothing like that, except to throw in the trash. So I went in the military for 13 years when I was 17. I really didn't have many other options. I tried to kill myself like 4 or 5 times from the ages of 10 to like 16-ish. Since I grew up in a really strict Christian house, I couldn't really just be myself. Couldn't even talk about being gay, much less about being transgender, about being different, about who I was. My parents just didn't accept it. They locked me up, put me in hospitals, and fixed or something's wrong with her, And so when I went to the military, it was difficult because I was living life as a lesbian, but deep down I knew that eventually one day I would transition. I still felt the same way. I didn't really hide it. It just masked it a little bit. At the time, I was in a relationship with a woman for 13 years. That's to be. And so it was difficult for me because I didn't feel like I was a straight man. I felt like I kind of had to play that lesbian role, not only to be with her, but to be in the military and be safe. And even under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I was safer as a lesbian than I was as an out trans man. So long story short, I got out of the military in 2005, and I got out in September, and I started my hormone shots and transitioned the day after I got out of the military. So I've been actively transitioning since 2005. I've had my top surgery. I'm hoping to have my bottom surgery pretty soon. We'll talk a little bit more about that because some of us are open about our operative status and some of it aren't. But the reason I say that is because it's important for you all to feel comfortable to ask us about it. Everybody has their likes and their don't likes. Some men don't like vaginas, even on a male body. Some just don't like them at all. And it's okay. You know? Some trans men don't date trans men that are pre-op because they don't like the chest. They don't like boobs, whether they know they're going to be gone or not. It's about a preference. And just like in the kink community, when you play with somebody, you have a discussion about what you both like, right? What's loud, what's not loud. And it's the same way with me. I'm not going to speak for that. But for me, you know, it's okay to ask. What do you like? What do you don't like? I personally don't like anybody assuming. I'm a gay trans man, so I've had a lot of men assuming one more time they're bottom. No. Not all trans men are bottoms. You get to pick your size, so don't forget about that. There's all sorts of toys, you know, stuff like that. So I just want you to feel free to ask me personally anything you want. Nothing is off the table. And anytime you see me in public, I'm always an open book. I always want to interact with people and talk to people about anything, but particularly the trans community. So please don't ever be afraid to come up to me, or if you see my Facebook or whatever, just say hi. Mm-hmm.
Speak up, please.
I'm Jack. I'm 23. I started my transition at hormones when I was like 21, so only 2 or so years ago. Yeah, actually, my birthday, I guess, is at the end of this month. For 2 years, going for a tea party. And it's been interesting for me coming out and becoming okay with being queer. I identified, I think once I'm post-op for bottom surgery, I'll probably stick more along the lines of gay male identity as opposed to queer, which is kind of weird because it's just words, but they matter. it was weird to me when I was in high school before I came out because I lived as a lesbian too. But I knew that I liked men, but I knew I never wanted to be a man's girlfriend. That was just wrong to me. That was the wrong role for me. But I didn't know that being a gay man was an option. I just thought, because trans masculine individuals are not very visible, they still aren't very visible. And so I never really had, there wasn't anyone like me to look at to kind of see that it was a possibility. I just thought something was wrong with me, and so I stayed living as a lesbian for a while, and it was weird because I was a lesbian who liked men and wanted to be with men, just didn't date them because I didn't want to be in that relationship. I didn't want to be a straight relationship. And it wasn't until I had a girlfriend who we engaged in a play session where we used a strap-on, and I realized, oh, you can feel things. Like, you can identify with objects that aren't necessarily attached to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first experience with feeling, oh, I can be male or not just be a female with something. And I kind of ignored that for years and years and years, kind of brushing it under, no, that was just a one-time thing, until it kind of became too much of an issue. I was like, okay, I kind of need to pursue this. And I did, and I'm still feeling where I fit in the community. North County doesn't have as much of a community as down here does at all. It's mostly military up there, but not very open-minded military up there. I'm trying to sort of spread awareness that trans people can't be up there at all. So that's kind of where I'm at the position.
Why not start it off on a
I was just walking from the bar, I thought we were having another bar.
Couldn't hear you.
Church.
Couldn't hear you.
You can just be part of the audience if you wanted to. Don't come up.
You don't have to share if you don't want to.
What is it you all want to know?
I don't know.
So
what's your life like?
What's what?
What would you tell your friends about your life?
It's a trip.
Okay. But loudly. Loudly.
I guess I'm a late bloomer. It's very late with everything just coming out. First as a lesbian in my 30s, and now as trans in my mid to late 40s. And so I find it interesting the social dynamics and constructs that we all, you know, live within, and how that plays out in the success or failure of our lives based on gender and gender roles, you know, being able to live on both sides of that spectrum. It's been quite a trip. That's where I'm at right now.
Cool. Thank you.
My name is Eric. I identify as gay. Gay man.
Please speak up.
So, Eric, I identify as a gay man. Started coming out when I was like 8 years old. I started telling the men in my family that I wasn't a female and that I needed to be a boy. You know, I started. And my great uncle, he embraced it. He asked me what my name, what I wanted my name to be at that time. And it was Henry. So that's what I always pretty much identified myself as. But like I said, I've always known that I was a girl. I was the only boy of my kind in the Little League. And we lived in southwestern Missouri, so it was really close to my home. So I was literally the only, like, girl in that Little League section of our county. I didn't really know what, because I was so closed off from the world where I grew up. I didn't really know that gay was an option until I went to trade school when I was 16. And then I started meeting lesbians, I started meeting other gay kids in trade school and stuff. And I was like, wow, what's this? You know, so I started like trying to identify with that community and still couldn't identify with that community. So I just became really reclusive. And that's something that I still fight with a lot. Start transitioning until about 3 years ago chemically, like taking hormones.
Started wearing dresses and everything again, like doing makeup and all of those other things. And
then I kind of realized, like, something was kind of weird with being with men. Like, some, because that's the most, the way I say it's the most obvious way to be demasculine is just to be with a straight man as a female. You know, so, at least, you know, when you're young. So that, I think that it just really bothered me. I wasn't quite sure what it was. You know, I still, again, would wear very male clothes, wear very female clothes. And so I just kind of, like, just stopped dating men at all or seeing men at all for years. And eventually I realized there's something else messing with me. Like, it's still not right. And so basically I went to, like, Southeast Asia where they're like, oh, gender, like, you are just whatever you are. They're like, trans is, like, normal. Gay is, like, what the fuck is that? Right here, gay is way more normal and trans is, like, what the fuck is that? Right? So it's completely opposite. So wearing masculine clothes and stuff like that, I got treated as a guy, and I was like, I can't not do this. This is what I have to do. I had, like, no mental breakdown and everything like that. I'd kind of been, like, genderqueer, I guess, before that, and then, you know, kind of went from there. So I ended up, you know, like, coming out to the girl I was with. She was, like, all upset about that. She was, like, thought she was more open-minded than she was, I guess, or didn't realize you can be open-minded and accepting of something, but maybe it's not okay for you and your sexual preference. A lot of people just, like, take a really long time to be able to deal with that. And I guess, actually, like, my transition, I've done it very slowly. You know, like, I didn't wear binders for, like, more than a year being out, because I was just, like, I had, like, a fucking F breasts, you know. It's just, like, I would have to wear, like, two or three binders to even, like, not show something or look relatively small, even then you can still pretty much tell. And I was a stripper and model and all this other stuff, so I was just, like, my friends and, like, all of this was, like, talking about, like, this is such a hard time because I'm doing this and being that, and all of my whole attitude about it was, like, I don't care what the fuck kind of clothes or gender clothes I wear, I don't care what the fuck I'm binding myself or not, you should just respect the fuck how I identify. I don't give a shit. It's my tits. I'm a fucking guy. Deal with it, right? Eventually, I started finding more and more as I kind of was, like, trying to, like, deal with society. Not so much the people I was close with, but deal with external people. And I was, like, very, you know, I slowly become very, very upset about my dress. Even when I was younger, I was just, like, there's, like, it's like a love-hate relationship. You know, it's like, you know, by the time, like, I would randomly be like, oh, yeah, this is great, give me what I want, other times, and, like, punch them till they're blind. Like, I just hated them at the same time, you know. So I would start finding stuff, and it was kind of funny to watch people, when I was a stripper, reaction to me going there dressed completely as male, and then, like, come downstairs with, like, a pinup doll. Always fun. So after all of that, when I moved to San Diego, like, a year and a half ago, which is about maybe 6 months after I even started finding, that I started hormone therapy and started my career here, and then was still also dancing to, like, get as much money as I could after that. So I was actually on testosterone and a stripper, so I would go and, like, shave my face for my shift. All kinds of great shit. It was all good. And then eventually I was just like, eh, it's too much to deal with trying to shave all of this. Like, I was like, eh, just deal with that later. Deal with that. So at first with that, I was kind of like, oh, weird about, like, because I always got female. I still get, you know, she, like, 50, more than 50%, like 57% of the time. But now I'm just more like, figure out it's really funny to confuse people about my gender. You know, and just, like, kind of like to stick it in their face. Like, you have to think about this now that you've, like, seen me naked or something or, like, whatever. So that's where I'm at, playing with that and also kind of trying to find people that do respect it, because I don't have any surgeries or anything like that, right? So being able to call me gay or being able to be like, this is my cat or whatever kind of stuff. So it's like I'm a lot more picky about the people that I'm with. So that's one, the most significant thing I've noticed as far as, like, sexuality and everything like that is I'm more pansexual now because I'm way more comfortable myself, but I'm also way more picky about who I sleep with or anything, like one night stands, all those other things. I feel like I have to be more safe for myself.
Well, I'm 50, so this is going to take forever, and I'll try to keep it right to trans, but it's so in what, you know, entrenched, it's webbed in there. It was the 60s, and I told my mom I was a boy, and she checked, and there was no interwebs then. for you. So, you know, she checked and did what she could, and she found there was really nothing to do for me but try to help me to live as authentically as she could. There weren't girls' sports then, so she would fight for me to play in the boys' leagues, and it was always a fight, and if I was better than the coach's son, I didn't get to play, because there's no way.
Yeah.
You know? I wanted to take auto shop, and girls weren't allowed, so she threatened to sue the school. So then I got to take auto. I mean, it's been a fight my whole life. She did what she could to help me to live authentically and kept me in line by saying, well, if you fuck up, you're going to have to wear a dress to school tomorrow. Hey, Mama knew how to handle all of us, and guess who graduated top of their class? You know what I'm saying? I always had her room clean.
That's awesome.
Right? Yeah, no, Mama, when I say power play, I was the best. So there was nothing to do. And so I was like, okay, I have to fit into this peg. You know, I'm intelligent, right? And so I tried, like, okay, we'll get married. So I married a guy who was gay because he didn't bother me for sex. You know what I'm saying? And we were good friends. We had a lot in common. So it was okay. And so then I was like, it still wasn't enough. I was feeling like if I could be me, I needed to not be here. So I was like, I have to find a purpose. And so I got pregnant so I would have a child so that I would have focus and purpose. And at that point, I'm like, well, now I've made this commitment, you know, because, you know, within 4 years, I was like, oh, you can fucking transition? Are you kidding me? But then I was like, okay, I've made this commitment. I have to hang with this commitment. And once he was grown, I told the woman I've been with since 1986, 3 years ago, and knew that it could be a deal breaker and that I would lose the four kids and the grandkids and, you know, everything could be a fucking train wreck. But I was back again to that point where I had to be me, or I had to be gone. And I was like putting on weight, drinking too much, just, you know, stupid shit. And she was like, well, if you don't transition, I'm fucking leaving you. So I was like, hoorah. You know? Because she always said, well, I like my room just peace out of here, man. Right? So here I am. Everybody was like, duh. Everybody in my life I told was like, duh. I lost quite a bit of business over it. I run my own business. Because, you know, handling your finances on testosterone is so much different than handling your finances on estrogen. Right? That changed everything. So my parents stepped in and helped financially when things got stupid. And I had them choose my name, my male name, like they, you know, chose my birth name. And my mother's been the champion. She knew more about transitioning than I did when I told her. And she felt relieved because she saw it, but didn't know what to do with it. She's fucking amazing. Yeah. I guess she's an orphan. She's been raped, foster homes, orphanages. Like, you know, she's the champion. And she's always been my champion. And that didn't change. And she was always like she always was, a step ahead of me. So, if you want to go what it's been, I started hormones in June of 2011. I had a complete hysterectomy in August of 2011. I had a double mastectomy with free nipple graft in February of 2012. In June of this year, I had a complete phalloplasty, which means that I have they removed the vagina, created a penis, and then a urethra, hooked up the nerves, you know, they denuded the clitoris and put that through the penis, and then put the nerves up so that it can be erotically sensate. So, other than erectile ability, which will come in March, I have a fully functioning penis.
Nice.
It's fun, yeah. It's a new toy, sorry.
I have to say, I'm really jealous of your mom, though. Can I borrow her for a while? I could use her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everybody always played at my house, you know?
God,
I think everybody in the room is jealous of your mom.
Yeah,
I'm
kidding.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing that I just wanted to point out real quick is he knows a couple of us up here talked about mental health issues, attempted suicide. Transgender population makes up about between 6 and 8% of the general population in the whole United States. 41% of that being attempted suicide.
Yeah.
We have one of the highest mental health rates, one of the highest suicide rates, and one of the highest addiction rates in the LGBT community. And for me, ironically, most of the discrimination I face is from the LGBT community.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the reason is because in regular society, if you're walking down the street, people have no idea what I have in my hands. Plus, once I had top surgery. They had no idea if I was a guy or a girl or what I was. They just saw me walking down the street with a little mustache and my ID says male, so they assume I'm male. As a community, y'all can peg us a lot easier. Right? Like, you know, a drag queen, when you're walking down the street, you tell that's a guy. I mean, it's just kind of obvious. There's certain things that give us away. We have smaller hands sometimes. A lot of us are shorter. And we realize that. You know, but we also realize that the public knows it as well. So that's one thing I just wanted to kind of point out and take away that in the LGBT community, it's a lot harder for us sometimes to get comfortable in ourselves. So
Just as a quick question for everybody here. How many of us have attempted suicide? I've tried twice.
I'm glad you're a failure.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And see, it's important that we have that conversation too.
We have a day of remembrance every year in November. What a lot of people don't realize is last year we read 275 names, mostly women, that were killed just because they were trans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just killed, they had tranny carved in their chest, they were cut to pieces, they were stuffed in garbage cans, they were burned. Most of it is, ironically, in South America, Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, are the worst places in the world for trans women to live. But we've also had six in a month and a half in Orange County, in Oakland, in San Francisco, and in Detroit. So it's a really bad epidemic, and it's starting to pick up steam again. I know this year I was talking to my friend Connor the other day, we'll have close to 300 names this year. That should be.
Well, it's important to have these discussions because a couple years ago when we had the panel up there, I wasn't as open-minded, and especially when Mr. IML was a trans man. And then after 20 minutes...
Who's Mr. IML? His name was Tyler. He was the first trans man and went to IML.
International Mr. Leather.
Okay, thank you.
And so I kind of had my prejudice side, but it's a man's thing, it should be a man up there. I thought they were being too politically correct. But after having the discussion, within 20 minutes, you identify as a man. So I accepted this man, so I was able to overcome that. And I was so it's really important, I think, to have that, because, you know, even though I like to say I'm open-minded, I had some opinions about certain things. I'm like, that, you know, should be kept separate. And I was very glad. We talked about everything from play parties, how people... But right away, I knew you identify as a man, so, you know, why shouldn't I accept you as a man if that's the way, you know? So it was very important.
I don't want to diminish a single thing you just shared. It was very powerful. And as a man who came out as gay in 1975, it was pretty horrific back then, too. And that, yes, right now, gay marriage in the news, whoop-de-doo, all that... And the communication
of... The
say what?
Couldn't walk down the street back then.
Oh, I know. I mean, I was the last gay man in San Diego County to get the Rodney King treatment. I mean, I was beaten severely by six cops just for, you know, looking at him wrong while I was in what's now Rich's. And
leaving the wrong bar.
Say what?
For leaving the wrong bar. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled out of the flame and got pulled over. It's like, well, what have I done?
And my request... of our trans brothers is please don't assume that our plate is much fuller than yours, that we still have a lot of pain. We still have a lot. The reason why this group exists is to provide a support system for men that can't find it too much places else. You know, that we have to have some safe space to come to where we can assume that everybody's going to be nice and accepting from the get-go. So that's why, you know, we have this, that, you know, it's a space. There's a lot of pressure. Speaking as the founder, there's a lot of pressure on us, you know, because we're a male space. And when
Oorah.
I first... Say it again?
I said that, hoorah.
Hoorah.
I get really sick of everybody thinking everybody needs to fucking include everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you're allowed to have your own space.
And they assume that it's okay for women's space, but males together are a threat in some way, that we're colluding in some way to, you know, cause a problem. And we clearly are not, that this is all about support. I mean, when I started this group, this is relating, I promise. I just tend to talk around the block like I always do. But I started this group feeling in a sense of panic because the gay male culture went through a deep wounding because we lost so many of our elders. And the more I go along now, I'm realizing it's not exclusive to us. All of us are starved for mentors, for role models. And for, you know, peaceable people who are not going to judge us based on silly shit we have no control over. And that's why we've been transitioning ourselves to being that male space. Please.
Even in the trans community, it's like since the LGBT community has gotten so into equality with the marriage movement and, you know, marriage equality.
Military.
Yeah, military, just in general, you know, that the trans community has pretty much been left out of that. You know, we've been told by HRC that marriage equality wasn't a trans issue. Well, guess what? I'm a gay trans man. So you can't tell me marriage equality is not a trans issue. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of it, we threw the first shoe at Stonewall. A lot of people don't realize that we, as the LGBT community advanced, we were left behind. And so now that the trans community is having a little bit of success in, you know, our health insurance coverage and just being recognized as human beings, that within the trans community, now there's a little bit of, I don't want to say fighting, but there's power struggles between the genderqueer community and the trans community and all these identities that still fall underneath the same umbrella, because while we're still all gender variant, we're also very different. Some of us are poly, some of us aren't, some of us are pansexual, some of us are bi, some of us are straight. And so we really, as a community now, at least here in San Diego, we're really trying to come together and educate the community here in San Diego about the differences we have, so we don't have as much of that infighting, as much of that power struggle as
some of. Another reason for this group is to know that we have commonality fetishes. So we're not like the only one that likes to be peed on or spanked or, you know, so that helps us get together too, is that we're not so odd.
First of all, I think you're all fucking hot dudes.
And
talking to you, Paulo was my first experience up front when I was Din Daddy for the leather contest. And you made the comment something about, okay, guys, this is what it is, or something like that. And I didn't understand what you were saying until I looked and I went, wow. And it didn't embarrass me or anything like that. It was more of an amazement type thing. I was like, wow. And I just want to say, I think all of you look, I wouldn't know you on the street. I mean, to me, you'd be a guy on the street, which is what you are. I have a very good acquaintance that is transgender, and you know, I think sometimes we have to just, and I'm sure you do, some of us just kind of sometimes get dingy. I mean, I knew originally, you know, he was a girl, and he's transgender, and he's a guy, he's a dude, and I went into his business one day, and I don't know why, I wasn't paying attention to anything in my head, and I said, hey girlfriend, what's up? As soon as I said that, I'm like, are you an idiot or what? It was, and
you would say that to a gay male friend, male friend of yours, like
normally I wouldn't, but So I told him, I looked at him, I said, you know what, I'm an idiot. So he said, yeah, you are. So you know, that was fine. The last thing I want to say is, you know, I was born a male. I knew I didn't know what gay was, but I knew I liked men at a very early age. My family was very religious, Church of Christ. My dad was a preacher, and I was going to be straight, get married, have kids, two-car garage, the whole thing. And so when I was 18, 19, I met a girl. We had sex. It was okay. But it wasn't my thing. We got engaged. We decided I should go in the Navy and get a job and maybe housing and all this kind of stuff. Well, while I was in boot camp, she sent me a Dear John letter. And it didn't upset me. The thing I remember, and this was a long time ago, the thing that I remember the most in the letter was, I'm not what you want or what you need. And when I read that, I knew what she was talking about. But I was like, how did she know that? I got offended because how did she know that? So my point is, I came out of the closet. I'm a guy. I like guys. It's easy, per se. And I admire you for being who you are because of the things that you have to go through to be who you really are and who you feel like you are inside. All these guys will tell you, I'm a big, I talk about this all the time, whether you're a boy, you're a pup, or whatever it is, it's what you are inside here. It's not what you think, it's not what you feel, it's what's in here. This is what makes you, this is my boy, he's an older gentleman. But he's my boy because that's what he feels in here. So, I love you, dudes. That's all I can say.
Thank you. real quick, when he was running for the contest, Mr. Eagle, I was in the audience, and it was one of the funniest moments I remember, because he was on stage, and some of the community members knew that he was trans when he moved here, but some of the people at the contest, they had no idea. And they thought he was another guy up on stage, you know. So he's up there giving a speech, you know, talking about what you just talked about,
right.
All the Eagles, my heart, this is what I really want to do. You know, and then all of a sudden he comes out as a trans man.
Right.
Two people that were sitting at the table in front of me, their jaws did not pick up off the ground the rest of that time. They could not wrap their head around. They were looking at each other like, what is he talking about? Trans. And then it clicked.
Right.
They were just like, no way. No.
Well, he's wonderful. And like I said, I really appreciate you going through to be who you are. And like I said, my point is, I didn't have to do that to be who I am. So I appreciate you even more for having to go through what you have to go through to be you,
mm-hmm.
which is just like me.
See, I live my life like what I did with you was a joke. And I joke with myself and about my body the way it is so I can live happily the way I am. I have no regrets. He had his bottom surgery. I will never have that. Why? I am okay with having my manhole, vagina, pussy, whatever you want to call it. I really don't care. It's a hole. It's where I have pleasure. It's where my G-spot is. I've come to an okay with how I get off. That's part of living in, you know, some people, there's trans guys that don't. They don't want any association with that whatsoever, but they get their pleasure from other ways. For me to have a surgery like that would mean I would be closing off what I enjoy. So for me, I have no need for that when some do. And I'm not saying
this and keep your vagina. I have plenty of guys dealing with Dr. Crane, FYI.
Wait, that's
for sure.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I have both.
Yeah. And I think you should. I
want to buy a house before a penis.
It's your point of whatever makes you go to. My
Absolutely.
Point is, and all of us.
As
sure.
different as all of you are, we are. I know, and people think there's this one size that fits all, and why don't you? And
yeah.
There's pressure in the community both ways.
Guys are so different. Some guys have to have bottoms or top surgery because that's their trigger for them, to make them be a woman. Some guys have to have their bottom surgery.
Hard.
I don't really care.
One at a time, please. One conversation, please.
We were a bunch of boys from the church. What are they doing? They're in the wrong
I have a question. I work a lot with youth. I do counseling. And in the schools, as transgender does become more visible and gay becomes more acceptable, we are coming up against youth who are coming to us and saying, I'm transgender. So I want to come and to school dressed as a woman, which typically means dressed like a hoochie mama. And we have a lot of straight, you know, male administrators who are panicked because we don't have guidelines as far as how to deal with it.
Because you don't have a dress code.
Well, we have a dress code, but there's a strong instinct to not want to enforce that because we don't want to crush them. You know, it's like we don't want to appear, they're afraid of appearing insensitive. So I wanted
there's
to ask you,
to do it.
And I agree. I think you just have to say, listen, this is how all
this
women
is the dress
here.
Well,
but
all of the girls have to dress this way, including you.
But I wanted to ask, how, in general, with each of you, how early did you know and how solid were you in that understanding that you were different? Because of the other approach to this is, oh, it's a phase. They may be gay, but it's a way of trying to, they either are trying to attract more attention, or that, you know, they're trying to get out of rules or whatever. It's a phase. So I'm curious, because we don't have a lot of empirical research to say, you know, at this is a good age at which we can say, okay, you can make that decision.
I don't know that how early it has anything to do with it. I mean, I knew when I was three, but I know plenty of trans men who didn't really start figuring it out until puberty, or those that until they went away to college. A lot of it has to do with what their social dynamics were at the time. And my mother, because of her oppression, encouraged all of us to be all we could be and whoever we were. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was a problem to search. I mean, she was like, well, I'm not sure that there is a God, you know, because when she told the Catholic priest that she was being raped, he he told her 9-year-old said, but it was her fault for being alluring. So she's like, there is no God, fuck that shit. But she didn't tell us that. She told us that she's not real sure about all this religion stuff, and that it's upon us to go explore different religions and see what fit right. So for me, not a problem. Not a problem to be willing to ask myself the question. So when you're asking at what age, that's because as opposed to the pastor's son who kind of maybe has some feelings but is so oppressed and so indoctrinated that they don't feel it's okay, so they don't get there until they go away to college and they're allowed to start asking themselves questions without the constant pressure. So
well,
there isn't, what I'm saying is you can't pinpoint an age.
There's a little boy that lives in San Diego, and I don't know if anybody even went to the Hobby Monk Breakfast or the Nickies, but his name is Ryland. And he started transitioning when he was almost 6 years old. And his family is just, he's an amazing, he inspires me. I mean, he's just an amazing, amazing kid. Doesn't know anything different than that he's a boy. That's all he knows. That's all he cares about. You know, and as far as the school issue, I want to say it was a couple years ago, there was a case in Colorado with a little girl, a little trans girl named Coy, and they would not let her use the bathroom. They would not let her do anything she needed to do to recognize her gender identity. And that started off a whole kick fire and a whole movement about what to do with trans kids in school. You know, and so here in California, kids are allowed to identify and go to the bathroom with the gender of which they identify, without harassment from the school officials or from anybody else. Kids here in California are lucky because that's not everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of other states, like I'm from Illinois, I can't even change my birth certificate until I have surgery in the United States. I had my top surgery in Mexico because it was $5,000 cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way I could afford it here at the time. So there's a lot of variables. And when it comes to kids, the important thing is to have an understanding of parents and for the parents to have a support system and to have the ability and the wherewithal to go to school and say, this is my child. You know, this is how they identify. This is what you need to respect. You know,
I think with any other girl, it'll address that way.
Yeah,
it's not aggressive, it's just enforcing the rules.
Yeah, the parents, the kid just really needs to have a parent that'll stand up for them and say, this is my child and it's okay. You know, if you want to be a boy today and grow up and decide that he's not a boy, it's still okay. He's still my child.
I think the parents come to us as counselors confused because they don't know what to make of it. They've got a six-year-old child saying, I'm a boy, and they don't know whether that is, whether the child has the experience to make that judgment at that time, independently
absolutely.
Of his family.
By five years old, you know, the hip, you're pretty clear on who you are, the rest is growing up.
What advice would you give those parents, the parents of those trans children, who know that they are different,
to
help them through it.
And who they say they are at that minute.
They're not going to have the experience to make that decision if you don't let them experience the things they would need to properly make that decision. If you saw an adult, or a young adult, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I like this or that, you're going to tell them, oh, well, why don't you try it and see how you feel about it and kind of think about it.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, like Lou was saying, by allowing gender exploration at a younger age, it increases open-mindedness about at an older age that maybe penis does not equal man, maybe vagina does not equal man. And by exposing people to that at an earlier age, just like when you show children the book about the gay penguins, they don't care. They're like, great, I'm going to go play.
Yeah.
So by exposing children to concepts like gender and sexuality, it's not as complicated or as like harmful as it's.
The important thing for parents is to listen. Not just hear, but listen. And the other thing is to authenticate what their child is saying. You know, don't tell, oh, you don't really mean that. Or that's not what you would
It's
not
a phase.
Listen to what they're saying. If they want to be a boy today and a girl tomorrow, they're young. You know, and as they grow up into, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, their gender identity becomes more of a core of who they are. And usually by about 8, 9, pretty set, but they do know it's when they're little. I got kicked out of second grade because I had refused to wear a skirt to school, you know, and I was not going to announce a teacher when she referred to me as she. It wasn't happening. So I'd be homeschooled for 6 years because I couldn't go to school because nobody didn't know how to deal with me because my parents didn't know how to deal with me.
Right. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Children really, really are clearer than we are.
Yeah.
And they haven't been totally fucked over yet.
Yeah.
They really are clear. But my best friend's kids totally got it, and they would call me at that time Uncle Sarah, Because they got it. And sitting there with my wife, maybe we hadn't been in a few years, and there was this new three-year-old. She was sitting across the table, and she was doing this, and she was this. You're like her husband, aren't you? Like, kids get it. I was in Home Depot, right, before I transitioned. I had giant orifices. They were 22 inches around. I'm talking like, knock you over, right? They took the one before me. Mm-hmm. And I'm in Home Depot, washing my hands in the bathroom with nothing but, a bra and a white beater on, and this little girl's washing her hands, and she looks up and she goes, "Hey, Mom, that man's got really big." kids are clearer than we are, because we're so busy going, okay, we have all this knowledge and constraints and requirements and we have, laws and religions and all this shit, all in it. They don't get it. They've got just who they are. And they see who you are. So I think the kid has a clearer view than you do. I'd say that just listen to what the kid has to say. And if they have what it takes to stand up to that at that time, they know the difference.
One of the first people I was ever exposed to transgender that I knew of was, boy, was I lucky, Leslie Feinberg, who was here a few years ago. And she gave a speech that called for revolution in Balboa Park. And I kind of helped advertise for that event. I couldn't believe the place was packed. I didn't believe there were this many transgender people in one city, in any city in America. And they all showed up in San Diego and all places. It was an amazing place. Leslie, by the way, wrote a book called Stone Butch
Blues.
Blues. Everybody. Just great book. Now, Leslie, I know, is currently in hospice here, suffering some terrible illness. Might be checking out. And I had always heard that she was suffering debilitating effects from hormones. The hormones are not always tolerable, are they? And don't they have long-term damaging effects?
A trans woman is willingly knocking off 10 to 15 years of her life.
Oh.
There's different ways that we medicate. Most trans guys take a shot, which is either once a week, or once every 2 weeks, and it's an IM shot. It's not the most comfortable, but you get used to doing it. Trans women got a lot more options, and a lot of them choose to take the pill so they don't have to do the shot, and as a result, they have problems with their liver. And a lot of trans women also have heart problems and problems with their vascular system and their circulatory system, just because there's a difference between estrogen and testosterone. Everybody naturally has testosterone, even biological women. But not everybody, not all the guys sitting here have estrogen.
So everybody's got both.
Well, yeah, but not the levels are
different. Well, if a trans woman chooses not to have her testes removed, she's taking testosterone blockers as well. It just eats your liver.
Right.
These
have transmasculine hormones. If you have a hysterectomy or uterectomy, you do need to have some sort of hormone into your body, or else it will be damaging by itself too.
It's very important to check our levels. They have to check our levels to make sure they're not at risk for stroke. Because once we start taking testosterone, we become prone to a lot of the things that natural men are prone to, and that the biological male side of our family is prone to. And like for me, I'm adopted, so I don't know what my biological father's side had to look forward to, so I'm just kind of winging it, And so I do stay really on top of my levels to make sure that my testosterone levels are low and everything is right.
Are there emotional ups and downs and swings and difficulties?
Well, tell you what. Folks, can we let's put a pin on it for right now because it is break time.
It's break time. So let's take a very short 10-minute break so we can get back in here.
Short time. Short time.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, gents. Also, this is entirely.
And I control mine. You can't control yours. I absolutely. I know exactly what I have to do.
So,
all right.
So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I take testosterone replacement therapy because of my age and my disabilities. Do you guys get the same peak? Like mine is like take the shot. I did the 2 week rotation, and that second week is
2 weeks
or two.
Yeah,
it's 2 week rotation for us.
2 weeks, TD, bro.
Yeah, but for me, I get that second weekend. It's just like anyone in front of me is now in trouble.
Yeah.
At that moment, and then it slides down.
I think it's kind of different for every guy because our bodies are different, you know? I take mine every 2 weeks, and right after my shot, if anybody bends over in front of me, we're all going to have some trouble. I'm in the mood, that's all I want is sex, you know? And right before I take my shot, it's like I have this insatiable appetite, like I just can't stop eating. So that's my experience on it, you know? And a lot of people assume that once we start to eat, everybody's raging. Guys full of this attitude and anger, that's totally not the truth. You know what I mean? Totally not the truth.
The way I put it, I'm 1cc once a week. I'm a bigger guy. My muscles get very quickly. In fact, every time I go to my doctor, he's like, wow, you're still pretty low. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. But I was a female bodybuilder before I even transitioned. I only transitioned 4 years ago, just to give you a base. And the funny thing when you're talking about kids, just to bring up another subject, I was a high school teacher for 5 years. Female bodybuilder, kelp with the weightlifting team at the high school. I was bigger than half the football team. So when they saw me transition after I got out of the school, they said I looked and felt much more happier. My own students could look at me and say, wow, you really fit who you are. And, you know, they could tell where I was supposed to be. And even though they knew I didn't fit in then, they were still there supporting me in the very best, even with my bodybuilding. They loved me as the same person. But besides that, I've seen testosterone as a bodybuilder, as a female bodybuilder, I've seen it go through women, I've seen what it does to women, I've seen what it does to men. And the same thing arises. If you're an asshole, you're going to be even more of an asshole. If you're a good-hearted person, it doesn't matter what you do, how much you take, you're still going to be the same person. It's how you see yourself. I've been on doses so high, you would think I would be this raging pit bull. And to be honest, people are like, what? You're doing that much? How are you so sane? It's really your mental status. If you're egotistical, if you're an asshole, it's just going to, oh, now there's a rush. Now I'm on this. I'm Superman now. And, you know, some trans guys have that. It's a mental state. You know, it sometimes testosterone can be bad because I've known some guys who have mental instabilities before where they're bipolar or borderline personality disorders, and they can't go on testosterone. Only because, like I said, in that situation, it could be a very bad effect. So everybody's different, and that's why we do have to keep a balance. Even with biological men, you have to keep a balance because there is a lot of hormone therapy for biological men. So
I'm just curious. Show of hands. How many men here are on some kind of hormone therapy?
Y'all better raise your hand. Yeah.
The only reason why I ask, in my particular case, I was suicidally depressed. I mean, really. Every day I just fantasized about just some switch that I could flip and just end it. And I tried all those mood-leveling drugs, which now they find, if you've been doing those mood-leveling drugs for 3 months or longer, they greatly enhance Alzheimer's. They just found that out. That's been in the news the last day or so. Great. So I was on, they tried like 14 different drugs on me, and all they did was make me very weepy and very forgetful, which I'm already bad at those. But then one day I was at the gym, and a buddy of mine said, why don't you get your testosterone checked? I said, really? He says, yeah, you know, a buddy of mine, it really helped him. So I did. I went to my doctor. He says, you're fine. I said, no, I'm going to get a real appointment with a real test. And I did, and it turned out my body was putting out between 4 and 11% of the normal amount of testosterone for a middle-aged man. And so then I started doing the shots. I would be happy, and then I would ready to rip somebody's head off their shoulders when it would run out. And so then now I'm just doing the androgel, you know, smear it all over myself every day, and it makes me a lot more stable because, I mean, being off of it makes me really savage. I don't want to be, yeah.
One of the things a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of trans people are low income, or until recently, got health coverage insurance and chased here in California, but in other states, they can't afford it to all the time. They don't have health insurance, they'll pay for it. So for us to be on and off, that's where some of the times the rage issues and that come in, because our bodies are trying to match that chemical balance, you know.
And when I came here to San Diego, I was at the point where I didn't have health insurance. I didn't know we had Tuesday night clinic when I moved here. I'm like, I've been on my hormones for 3 months. I mean, I can feel the difference. It was very, very not good, you know? And so that's why I've been helping some of the people. We have a trans assistance fund. So as part of what we do, we help people afford their hormones when they can't afford it. So they don't have to go through that unstable period. And have to
but there's a Friday night.
Yeah. They have to go through that instability because it's really not safe for them. And in my opinion, it's really not safe for anybody around them. We have to deal with that because of reactions or something.
Your doctor is actually normally deals with this kind of thing, whether it's trans or anybody on hormone replacement therapy that is middle-aged or male or female. They're going to ask you, how are you feeling? Are you having severe drops and all those things? And then, you know, typically, like, if with guys, what they'll do is, like, oh, you're symptoms set up every 2 weeks, you know, like, have it every 1 week, but, like, half as much or something like that. Same thing with the girls. A lot of them will take, like, if they're on the pills and stuff, they're supposed to take 2 a day. A lot of them will take 1 in the morning and 1 at night. You know, little things just kind of balance it out so that your body isn't spike up like a huge amount, then drain it before you get there. Right? So there's a lot of things you can do to adjust that, and you know, you should advocate with your doctor. If they're not checking in on that and making sure that that's okay, then you can talk to them about what you're doing to that. It is important to be able to feel stable and not have those drops, whether it's from a long time not having it, or like you should be able to be happy with your own treatment. Like you're getting treated for a reason, so you should be able to, you know, work with them and adjust them. It really helps out a lot. A lot of people don't realize, oh, you can just do that, or like, oh, it's just this is just whatever PMS like thing that I have to go through.
It's kind of like diabetic.
You don't have to do it.
Always good. I've known 4 of the guys on this panel since before they even started hormones. Before they really started transitioning physically, and I haven't seen any difference in any of them except for somebody. I mean, their attitudes and everything since I've known them are the same. And once they start transitioning, they're the same people.
For those of the panel members that care to answer the question, what's the biggest misconception you wish you could correct about yourself? And I don't mean on behalf of the whole community or others, but I mean just about you. What's the biggest thing people just don't get right about you?
In general or about
you? About you, not in general. I think I just want a sampling of where do people just go wrong in terms of their perception of you?
Well, I was talking to somebody outside of who it was. I was talking about a dating situation I was in. It's like, for us, it's always the key is like when to tell the guy that we're trans. You know, I get bit in a bar and some guy hits on me. Do I tell him right then and there? Do I wait until he tries to take me home?
Right.
What's the deal, you know? And I was talking to this guy, he got on Grindr, real nice guy. We went on a couple coffee dates, we're talking. You know, on our third date, I told him I was trans. He's like, well, I don't want to date you. I'm not interested in you. I said, then you were never interested in me to begin with. You know, so for me, that's one of my struggles. It's like, for me, I don't know sometimes, like, when to tell, if they care, should I even bother to tell? And it's partially a safety issue and partially an uncomfortability issue because I don't know what the reaction is going to be depending on where I'm at. You know, even in gay bars, guys don't like it. They get highly offended and highly pissed off when they find out that we're trans men with a vagina walking around as hot as we are. I mean, I'm just being bluntly honest. So we have to consider those times, that too, when
comes
time to tell. What about you?
It's very similar to the HIV issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to wear a scarlet positive. Exactly.
I don't get that. Sometimes I do with Grindr. I'll get, you know, but I'm open on Grindr, so they know instantly.
I am too, but sometimes I'll take the right. They don't get the profile, they see the face.
Right.
It's cute, you know?
Well, I'll still tell them if they start meeting. Most of the time I get a question, oh, so you're a girl. Yeah, that's the thing. The guy came up to me, I mean, I'll put what happened to me today. I'm sitting there with my producer of my contest, we're talking back and forth about feature stuff, what's good things to come. And, you know, this guy with the Huffington Post, his name's Mike Spradley, he comes around the corner and he's talking about my tattoo, being nice, whatever, and then he goes away for a little while, and then he comes back, and he's like, so, and then I ask when he introduced myself, I'm Mr. Eaton, that's how I do it, and all of a sudden, he comes back, he's like, oh, so are you an interesting interviewee? And I was like, well, my producer's like, well, he's done a lot of interviews lately. And he's like, oh, and I was like, well, I'm the first trans man to hold an international legal title. And he's like, what? So you're a girl? And I was like,
wow.
But there's exactly.
Huffington Post.
And then I look, and you can look at him up Google. It's really funny. And then I look him right in the face, and I was like, I was born a girl originally, and you see the man that I am today. And he's like, oh, yes, so this is an interview and article I really need to do to get everything right. And I was like, at least he took it in a good manner. You know what I'm saying? So when people talk to me, and it was kind of funny, because, you know, like that. But even though he writes story after story, he doesn't get to speak one-on-one to understand what is correct and what's not correct. He's just getting answers from other people. He's probably not even, you know, like you said, he talks to Tony Atkins all the time. He talks to people outside of the community, find out information on the community. But to really get, like, to do an interview one-on-one with somebody like me is what he was talking about. He was like, if I could do an interview with you to get it right, it would be a good deal.
Tony Atkins doesn't have the trans experience or really
doesn't. But they're fighting for the same cause. So for me, it's just when people find out, first off, they're amazed. And then they're like, oh, so you're a girl. That's the one thing I get. So whenever you find out somebody's trans, don't call them a girl. So just understand, oh, so you were born in a different body. God.
There you go.
That's the... Although I don't have any other issues. This one is not here.
I got everything, but there is one small little thing I'm curious about. You made the comment earlier that when you're with the testosterone and the estrogen, correct? How is it when y'all were a female doing like just normal everyday tasks, and then when y'all started taking the testosterone, was there any like difference in the movements?
Multitasking for me is not as easy as it used to be. And I don't know if that's just because my mind separates things now. Like, for a quick, a sexuality, I can separate sex and all those different things now. There's just certain things I can separate that I don't have to. Whereas a female, everything was together all the time. To make sure it was happening. And I'm like, you know, no, separate that. Something else, but I just can't. I don't know. There's some things I get distracted easily, and it's just, I don't know. For me, that's me personally. I'm just like, wow.
So your entire thought pattern changed when you started taking.
Yeah, I didn't mean it in a bad way. I just personally, I just can't multitask anymore. I don't know if that's part of me being able to separate things.
I don't know that for me that's necessarily the ability to multitask anymore. It was the seeing how much easier it was to focus on something.
I agree. I was able to focus.
Focus better.
Focus before.
Yeah. And how much of that is, you know, hormones or just, you know, getting right?
Yeah. Being comfortable with yourself.
Yeah.
I became a lot more sensitive to differences in people because I noticed how differently people were treating me, particularly like mid-transition, when I first started transition. People didn't know what to look at me, what the fuck to think. They didn't know if I was a girl, they didn't know if I was a guy, they didn't know if I was a hybrid. They didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Because they see, you know, even though you're blind, you can still tell sometimes. I wasn't very big, but I was lucky. But there's still those prominent features when you're first transitioning that people can pick up. You know, and so it's like I became super sensitive to how other people that are different are treated. You know, people that are differently abled, people that different genders, people in the community, people just in general became super, super sensitive to how they're being treated because now people are treating me like that. You know, so I paid more attention to how I treat people.
With me, like, when I was a girl or whatever, I actually do come from a mental illness background. Like, my dad is, like, extremely schizophrenic, and both my parents have PTSD, different things. Like, I have, you know, I'm diagnosed with, you know, general personality disorder, and that records a lot of different things. And I've had severe psychosis. I am bipolar. I am medicated, and I do go to psychiatrists, all those other things. But when I was female, I know that it was just harder to control any of those things and, like, just going off into different directions, not being able to have the responses that I would feel I should have. Instead of, it's like, you're thinking, oh, this is how I should react to this, but you can't. You know, like, you're trapped as, like, a slave to this thing, this process that isn't working for you, that you don't want, that you don't identify with, that you can't get away from. And, like, I have a hormonal disorder, too, so my body kind of, like, swing a little bit when I was a girl. So, like, I've actually been on the highest, which they gave me birth control, but I've been on the highest amount of estrogen that you can give someone every single day. And that made me just completely insane, like, just out of my mind. I couldn't focus. I couldn't think. I couldn't not have, like, I couldn't have a normal reaction to anything, a stable reaction to anything. And so when I started testosterone, I noticed more, like, oh, this is kind of how I want to react to things, or this is kind of how I want to take things. You know, I could breathe. I could think about something logically instead of just having an immediate just reaction to things, you know. And it actually helped a lot with me being bipolar and everything. Testosterone is actually a destabilizer, which is the opposite of what trans women have to deal with, is that in a male body with low testosterone, it causes severe depression. So that's something maybe you guys are going through. That's something also trans girls have to fight every single day while trying to be happy. You know, so it's the opposite side. So that helped me a lot, just being more calm, more stable, more collective on things, and being able to have focus, but also having a larger reflection of things and being able to, like, oh, look at the whole picture and just actually analyze it instead of just, like, throwing things at it and then, like, oh, revert and figure out this later, figure out that later, and just, like, never really end up with a clear picture of anything.
I was going to say, one thing we all can probably agree on is our sexual, being sexual is higher.
Speak up.
One thing we can all agree on is we are more sexual now because of the testosterone.
Nope.
No?
No. I was a super horned dog before I was on testosterone.
That's
so
true.
I mean, sexual, the amount of sex that I want to have did not change. It's how it happens for me. Like, how I feel about sex, how I treat, like, my horniness or whatever. Like, I feel more, like, obligated to do something about it. If I have, like, a raging boner or something, whereas if I was a girl, I'm just like, oh, I'm horny, whatever.
Well,
that kind of
by your, I believe that comes because you're more comfortable with yourself.
No, it's just different. It's just, like, I'm willing to be, like, you know, pansexual or something because I'm more comfortable with myself. But the amount of sex drive doesn't change. It's just, it happens differently for me. It's like, whenever I discuss a lot of my trans women, it falls off and it comes back, but it's different. It's just different. Like,
orgasm on estrogen versus testosterone is different.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
And how you feel about it is different.
Yeah.
Just because
it's
separated.
Yeah.
You can separate it. That's what I was trying to get to. It's like you have a different orgasm with your partner than you do a woman's state. Anybody can understand that. There's a heat of the moment and there's a madness. But besides that,
here I'm in the area of I'm going to sound stupid.
There is no
I'll try. Are there transgender people who aren't predominant, they don't predominantly identify with either gender, who say,
yes,
I'm both?
Yes. It's called bigender.
Okay, I didn't know.
Gender fluid, gender queer, bigender, there's a couple of
different terms. Okay, now let me take a step further. Is there discrimination, hatred among transgenders towards those people, maybe,
yes,
or them toward you?
All of us.
I think we're trying to
each other.
Is there some conflict there?
I would say the largest conflict is the people who want to hang out under the trans umbrella and all the rights we're trying to get for ourselves when all they are is a fetish. They are, you know, do all week long, and then they like dress up as a girl on the weekend and go get laid. I'm sorry, that's a fetish. You're not trans.
Or a fetish.
I thought that was a drag queen.
That's the difference between
that's a fetish.
Acting like you're a leather person and being a leather person.
Yeah. Now there's like ridiculous legal ramifications and healthcare needs and so much stuff that we're fighting so hard for. And when cross-dressers want to get in the mix and call themselves trans, it just fucks things up immeasurably. Because in the community, it's like, you just like to wear a dress, or you just want to wear... No, I'm not.
It makes it harder for the trans women because they have to cross that bridge and deal with that. They already have a harder path as it is.
Oh,
they have
trans women
have
it significantly more difficult than we do. Because you're born... you begin female. Male is added on top. So... when you're female, then we're good because we're adding male on top. We're adding a deeper voice. We're adding body hair. We're adding muscle mass. But when you're born male body and then you want to transition to female, you want to get rid of those shoulders. You can't, you know, that Adam's apple, your bald head, your hairy face, your hairy back. Those are taking away maleness is ridiculously expensive and at times physically impossible. So for them, being clocked, because I hate to say passing because they are women. But so being clocked or recognized as women is really difficult for them. Difficult to get jobs, housing, all that. You guys wouldn't know me, once I got my tits cut off, I haven't been cheated ever since. And so for the trans men, it's a whole lot easier.
Did you notice? A change in status going?
Oh my God! It's ridiculous.
Do you think that male to female women have take a drop in that status as well?
And
as
it's beyond just going from male to female. It's going from male to female that nobody wants to fucking have around.
And it's like even us when we transition, there's that male status and that male privilege that we have to stop and think about. When we're on regular society, say I'm at Walmart, there's a woman walking in the door in front of me. She doesn't know I'm trans. She doesn't know I'm gay. All she looks at me and sees is a white man. So if I was standing there. So if I don't stand there and open the door for her, it's like, well, he's a guy, he should be doing that for me. And for me, that was a real mindfuck. I had to stop and think about that kind of stuff when I first transitioned, because you don't think about people looking at you and, well, he has that male privilege, why isn't he using it?
I was going to ask, between trans people who identify as a gay male or a gay female and trans people who identify as a straight male and a straight female, do you guys get any discrimination from those who identify as a straight male or a straight female saying we don't want the ones who identify as a gay male or a gay female as part of our group because they don't fit into the whole heteronormativity thing where they're not a man and a woman next to each other. It's still two guys, physically it's still two guys standing next to each other. Have you guys been able to kind of bridge that where everybody gets along or...
I try. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I show up with my wife, and then everybody just assumes it's straight couple. And
right.
All there is to it. They don't know how bi or queer or kinky we are. There's just this assumption. There's a straight couple of kids and grandkids. That's
I think both more than one. It's like, well, if you want to be with guys, why don't you just date a girl? Well, that's a really different dynamic.
Gender. And sexuality are two different fucking things.
Well, I just know a lot of... I know several trans females who are straight, identified as straight, who seem to be like, they don't want anything to do with the trans community at all. They're just a woman, and it's like, I don't want to be identified with that because it comes with, like...
Because it's assumed they want gay men.
Right.
They're not
straight.
Yeah.
So does that create a problem in trying to get everybody to...
Well,
work together.
A lot of people in the trans community are stealth,
yeah.
Which means that nobody knows they're trans except for them and their family and their
right.
loved ones, and maybe
right.
a few close friends they tell. And they do that for a lot of reasons. They do it maybe because of their job, maybe because they do have kids, they have a family. That's their choice.
Right.
I really never intended to come out as waving my trans flag everywhere.
Right.
It just kind of happened for me that way.
Yeah.
I started into the roots of activism, which I never intended, but it is what it is, But
yeah.
not... I'd say here, there's probably a lot more trans people than you realize as far as guys go.
Mm-hmm.
They're among you all every day. They're stuck. You don't even know.
Yeah. I come from Orange County, so it's a slightly different experience as far as the trans folks up there. They're very much trying to just blend in with everybody else completely and have not making any waves at all whatsoever.
There's a lot of guys in the leather community who are trans and don't want anything to do with the trans community. They're leather men, and that's the way it is for them, which is fine. Everybody's journey is their own, and they're entitled to how they want their journey to go.
A lot of people see it as the goal. So in most communities, you see that. It's usually the people that you see the most, however, the most in this situation, or whatever situation, you're like, oh, they're trans, and they're in this group.
the people.
Well, I like
that
the young guys are
transitioning.
Because I was like, I transitioned at starting at 47. What I'm going to do is pretend that last 47 years didn't happen. And I want it to be easier for my kids and my grandkids and the ones that come after it. And somebody's got to be willing to say, hey. And, you know, so I've been out ever since they kicked me out of the Army for being gay.
Mm-hmm. Some guys are of the opinion, too, that if you don't have bottom surgery, if you don't have your history, if you don't have top surgery, you're always going to be a trans man and never be a man. Well, guess what? I'll always be a trans man because that's part of where I came from, but we're always coming out. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we do, no matter how stealthy you think you want to be, you can't hide it. When we go through a background check for a job, we have to come out of the closet. When we go for a marriage license sometimes, I mean, just all these different components, you know.
Doctors,
you know, when they ask what medicine you're on.
Man,
well, when you tell them, you tell them,
fucking
if you're going in there just for a blister on your foot or stepped on down,
that's because
I'm not
you're
necessarily
trans.
Just tell them I'm trans because they're not going to be doing that.
Right.
You know, but if they do x-rays and they find out, then it's a whole different story. And sometimes they can flip a switch like that once they find out.
It's like if you need to go to the gynecologist, that's always interesting.
So, gentlemen, if I could interject, we're at 9 o'clock. I invite you guys to stay, you know, longer and continue, because what is different from this time versus the last time, we got deeper much faster, and I'm really glad. This is a conversation we need to have more and more and often, you know, and I invite you all to come up with ideas on how we can do that. You know, speaking for myself, you know, I've been listening and following along and everything, and I'm a 6'5", hairy, you know, cisgender gay male. I don't broadcast gay on any channel. But I promise you, I've never missed an opportunity to come out. When I was younger, I came out, I called myself a pie-in-the-face homosexual. Like, hi, want to see pictures of my boyfriend? You know, I'd always find some way to come out. And I probably lost a lot of business because of it. Because back in the 70s and 80s, there wasn't a lot of listening for that. But the reason why I did it was because I knew that what the elders that had been mentoring had gone through of, you know, of prefrontal lobotomies, of electroshock therapy, of, you know, the horrible things that used to happen to them. And they were panicked when I would be so out and bold. But I've been using my size intentionally. I mean, what are people going to do with me? They're going to take away my birthday? You know, nobody's going to challenge me. But the reason why I've done it is so that life can be better for the people that follow. And that's why I salute you guys for coming here and telling your story. Because we need to know. We need to start somewhere. We need to have more information that is true. I mean, what I'm reacting against is 12 years of Catholic school, and it did not prepare me for the life I'm living now. And in order for the world to get better, where we understand that gender is fluid, that sexuality is fluid, that roles are fluid, but all these other things that we've learned the hard way, we didn't get that information, you know, when we were growing up. Well, it's time for that information to spread wide. So I salute you guys. This is powerful.
You have a mailing list?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want to say on my behalf, since I've been in San Diego, honestly, for me, the leather community has been one of the transgender community's biggest supporters.
Yeah.
Never any questions, never any doubt, just whatever we can do to help you guys, we will. I appreciate that for me, and I want to say thank you, because it's hard sometimes for us to find that welcoming space, because not everybody is welcoming. And so I think part of that is because we're all different. We all have different kinks in the leather community, and we're different, so we kind of understand that about each other. You know, and I just want to personally say thank you to the leather community for just welcoming us and never asking questions. It means a lot, it really does.
Thank you. Just as a quick question on the side, Paula, has anybody given you any shit about being a trans man and a title holder at all?
They don't say to his face because we're not like
speaking. There you go. I haven't seen the reason why I asked that is I don't know anybody who's more connected than I am, and I have not heard anything bad.
The only person that, not for being trans, because I don't think they knew I was trans, the only time I've ever gotten any flack was from a title holder on the female side, and it wasn't for being trans, but because of the amount of time I've been in the community.
And I probably know who it is too.
Okay,
so we'll talk. We'll talk.
but besides that, you know, that's it. Not about being trans, but oddly enough, you know, I thought it would be about that first, honestly, because I was so accepted so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, here I am. I got a title in, you know, less than a year. And it's not because I didn't you know, even though I don't know much about the community, I'm constantly in a state of learning. As I'll say it over again, even with this title, I'm constantly learning who I am. And this couldn't have happened at a better time. 4 years of my transition, still the beginning of my transition. And I'm still learning to be a better man with a leather community that I've never had before. And not one person has put me down from my past of being who I was before.
I'm glad to hear that. Awesome. I mean, it gives me hope for the future. It really does.
7 o'clock Friday night, Gossip Girl. Babies dance party. All you old fucks, babies dance party.
Well, call me when we get to the 70s.
Gossip Girl.
Oh, Gossip Girl.
Just to let
7 o'clock Friday night.
Just to let everybody know real quick, we do, me, Eli, and Zach, run a traveling gender education group called the T-Spot. We have a trans resource guide that we pass out there. So if y'all go to any other groups or part of anything, you know, you want to come and talk or do anything, we're more than willing to do that. So just let us know.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, I just want to say, and Papa Tony, he kind of said it too, but I want to say, and I'm sure all the guys are here, you guys, you're part of us, okay?
Yeah.
I love you. I think you're great. Yeah, it's just like I love these guys here. So, you know, if there's anything, you know, go to Facebook, Fetish on San Diego, if you're not already, and watch us, follow us. But anything that we can do to help you out or support you in doing stuff or whatever,
yeah.
You know, we're here. Because you've just amazed me. I'm going to have to really think about this, and I just love it. I think we need a trans man in our families.
We're doing a fundraiser on Friday night, trying to collect the funds to get our 501c3 taken off, because there's people who will donate to us, but not until we have that. But you have to have money to do that. You know, this is Catch-22.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So that's what Friday night is about.
Is this, you said this
is where? Gossip Girl, 7 o'clock.
How late is it going?
What's that?
How late does it go?
It goes from 7 to 10. We're going to have a live band from 7 to 9. We're going to DJ for the last hour.
Right.
We're going to have jello shots, you know, 80s gear. Just a really fun time. Raffle, you know, it's the usual fundraising.
It's only $3.
Yeah, if someone wants to post that or email that.
Yeah, trans man crew. I like that.
If someone wants to send that to Papa Tony or post it on our Fetishman page or whatever, we'd love to highlight that so that everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
Okay. That we definitely want to pass that along.
I'll pass it to you and I'll also think about it.
I think the point that I would love to point out at this point, you know, I mean, sorry, point. Okay. Our stock in trade in this group is our ability to surprise. We do innovative stuff because it's fun, and we support each other in breaking through, and then breaking through, and then breaking through. I think you're pretty clear that we're not the stereotypical Leatherman's group. We don't fit in. We're really different, and then we're proud of that. We like the spirit of playfulness and, you know, opening up more. And in that, and humor, yeah, lots of laughter and joy. You notice there was a lot of...
You can't laugh at yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So in that spirit, my request is that we go ahead and, you know, end it at this point, because we do have some announcements to make, and I thank you, and we've got a... And what?
I said I want to see this.
Oh, yeah, and we've got a... David's going to put on a show for you guys.
Do we need to put chairs up?
No. Okay. No, it'll be fine. Afterwards, yes, but... here, why don't you go ahead and start powering things up? Okay, so as far as announcements, everybody, what do we have coming up? It's not in my brain at the moment. We've got Harness Party this Friday. Oh, good for you. You're one of the go-go boys?
It's my debut dance.
Oh, nice. Oh, wonderful. We got to show them lots of support. He's going to be one of the go-go dancers at Harness. So we got to make sure that he feels extra loved.
Very good.
Bring extra dollars.
$5 minimum. $5 minimum. Now, Paula, you've worked Harness, haven't you? Yes.
I'm not going to beat this to death, so this is the last time I'm going to bring it up, but just in case anybody somehow missed it on Facebook, I put Scott Smith's email address up there, so if you'd like to do a thank you donation to him for the photography that he does for us for free, so that he can use that money towards new equipment and additional equipment to light and flash and snap correctly. Please do so. Please write that down. Take a picture of it with your phone so you have the address.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last appeal I'm making. I don't want to drag it out forever, but I just in case any of you didn't see it on Facebook, somehow, there it is up there too.
Can you just give money to him face to face?
Yeah, you can just hand him cash.
But make him dance. But make him dance before you stuff it into his G-string.
I mean, at least make him flash a little
G-string. Not a T-back?
So if you're not on our email list or on our Facebook page, I invite you to, because like I said, we do the surprising stuff. We get bored if we keep doing the same damn thing over and over and over all the time, and we do fun things. I mean, and also for all you tops, on Tuesday nights I teach tops. You want to learn stuff. I don't pretend to know everything, but what I do know, I gladly share. And it's very much of a bonding experience. Now, why do I focus on tops instead of bottoms? Again, I'll repeat it. Somebody, a submissive boy who wants a sir, a collar to be collared, has less than a 4% chance of finding one. My job is to increase the odds. I want that because there's a lot of couples that have met up through this group, a lot. Matter of fact, a lot of the men that are not in this room, it's because they're off at home doing the honeymoon thing. Mm-hmm. Because they've met here. We've had a lot of them. It's non-virtual. It's the way to meet people face-to-face. And the more we know each other, the more likely we're going to connect. So having said that, who's going to have...
You're talking about flogging and single-tail, well, and that sort of...
Not just technique. Technique's only about 15% of it.
Just making sure that you clarify what you're covering.
That not just technique, what I'm teaching is how to be a balanced man. I'm teaching male stuff. You know, I'm an elder. I've been around a long time. I came out as a gay man in 75, and I've been actively in the leather community since 77. And I know a lot of really cool stuff, and I share it. And it's more about connectedness and bonding as brothers. And if you really want to understand much more about being a man, that's what this is about. You know, that I don't put any shoulds on anybody. I've never tried to change anybody. All I can do is just say, this works really well for me. So I do that kind of teaching too. Yes, you were saying.
Are switchers welcome to that space?
Yeah, why not? Also, if you...
Like, not
okay, oh, yeah, no, we're fine with that. Also, we get stunt bottoms here. Raise hands, stunt bottoms. Uh-huh. And they're always welcome because, you know, we need somebody to practice with. You know. Yes.
Before we break up real quick, I want to go over the schedule. A lot of times someone will say on Facebook, what's next Wednesday about? Next Wednesday we're doing, the subject is jealousy. The week, or the Wednesday after that is the demo night, and that is sounding ropes and bondage. The first Wednesday in October is age play. Underneath that, the next Wednesday is role play and being verbal. And then...
What's age play again?
Jackson.
Oh.
No, age play, I mean, is...
Age play 101 is about role play also, and regression, and just talking, it's defining what age play is, and being a little, a middle, a big, and dominant daddy relationship kind of thing. Okay. And hopefully learn something.
Wednesday the 15th is coming out. And then Wednesday the 22nd is what everybody's been waiting for. That is leather gear, leather shots.
Oh, that's a good one.
So
yeah, we got big plans for that one.
October?
October the 22nd for demo night, we're actually doing the leather gear leather shots. Wednesday the 29th, just so you keep this in mind, the last Wednesday in October is going to be the Get in Gear Invasion at a local restaurant, so it's going to be a gear night out. Dress up in whatever you like.
And that's just not just leather, that's any kind of gear that you're into. As long as it's street legal, as long as you're not in a restaurant.
So anyway, so that's the recap of what's coming up.
All right, so who wants to handle the lights? You're on, dude. Everybody, gentlemen, let's flash them. Let's get everybody's attention. Gentlemen, we have David, who is going to tell us a little bit about himself and what his journey has been.
Where to start?
Go with the white ones, yeah.
The white ones first?
Yeah, go with the white ones first. Yeah.
Well, I am
probably about 4 months old as far as blogging is concerned. And I started out, of course, with a very simple, just one thing. That's all I knew. It doesn't take very long. You get bored with it after a while. You really want to start doing something else. So you start doing the crossover. Well, there was this really fancy thing that I saw Travis do called Florentining. And I was immediately drawn to it. Really, really just gorgeous. How did Tony come up with this idea of these fancy little lights on them? Awesome. I love it. I tried to paint mine purple, glow-in-the-dark. It didn't work very well, but these were awesome. So now, a few weeks later, or a couple of months later, I'm getting into using both hands, which is odd enough. I am ambidextrous, thank God. So I'll turn around for you guys as well, too. So two hands is where I'm at now, and I'm learning Florentine, and so far I've learned 2-point, which is just a basic figure 8, and then joining in with a second figure 8. So that's what that is. And then eventually, I'm still trying to get the 3-point down, but it goes something like this. And of course, finding someone to concentrate on is relatively easy because I've got a guinea pig over here who just absolutely squeals any time I go near him.
Can you actually vlog with the lights in there?
Yeah.
Yes. It's very bright.
Go about halfway down.
Oh, okay, I see. All right, cool.
So you have about almost a ruler length underneath of
just tail. Very good.
It's always good to have extra tail.
Oh.
Let me tell you, I enjoy it very much.
Especially on speed.
So that's been my experience.
Hey, David, can you do that Florentine again and not turn around?
Sure.
And so some of you might be wondering, what is with the lights? It's nice in a dark room. Well, one of the things that we do, since we have so many flogging tops, because that has been the thing that I love teaching, then we take it to, let's say, harness. And it's dark, and it's noisy, and it's distracting, and you know, we may be putting on a show over there, and people just don't see it. But with the lights, we clearly see it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look how innocent you are. Yeah.
I couldn't.
I'm wearing a church. He didn't get started.
But David, why don't you just do the single colorful one? I want to see what it looks like.
Okay.
But anyway, so the idea is that we want to entertain the crowd because it entices newbies to come up to us and want to try it too.
I've already had a newbie.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. It was his first time. And he came right up to me. I was flogging right next to Papa Tony one evening at the Leather Daddies at Numbers. And all of a sudden, this colored gentleman came up to me after I was done with Dan. She goes,
"Oh yeah, that works.
I don't know how to ask you this, but would you mind doing that with me?" And I'm like, "Sure."
Uh-huh.
I was like, he goes, "You'll have to be gentle with me because I've never done it before." And I'm like, "It's okay, I'm a pro, don't worry about it."
Yeah.
So I started vlogging him, and you know, it was amazing just his bodily reaction. Because when I stopped, I did the very same thing to him that I do to Dan, is after a few minutes, I rubbed my beard on it. And he just absolutely just shirks. And it was just awesome just watching his body react to what I was doing, knowing full well that he was getting sensual pleasure from it. No sex whatsoever. I didn't feel sexual towards him at all. But it was just that passion, sensualness with him. that was the most awesome thing. And afterwards, I found out that when I asked him to give me a report card, he said that I had reached about a level 4. I was like, well, damn, I could have gone up to an 8. But, you know, it was my first time, and I will work on that.
Very good. Thank you, David. Nice. Thank you, David. So one more hand for our beloved guests. Thank you. And as of, after this, you're no longer guests. You're just brothers with us. Thank you.